Revelation 17 and verse 12. Kai.
Kai.
Ta.
Ta.
Deka.
Deka.
Kerata.
Kerata.
Ha. Ades.
Ades.
Deka.
Deka.
Basileus.
Basileus.
Asen.
Asen.
Hotanes.
Hotanes.
Basilion.
Basilion.
Upu.
Upu.
Elabon.
Elabon.
Allah.
Allah.
Exousion.
Exousion.
Hos.
Hos.
Basileus.
Basileus.
Mian.
Mian.
Horan.
Horan.
Labanusi.
Labanusi.
Meta.
Meta.
Tu.
Tu.
Theriu.
Theriu.
And the 10 carats. That's right. And the 10 horns. Horns look like, what does a carrot look like? That's what we have. We get the word carrot, horn-like fruit. Here is this word, kerata, the 10 horns. All right? Now, someone, how many of you have a Bible, an Old Testament with you? Anybody have a Bible with you? Nobody have a Bible? You got one, Brother Bill? Daniel 7 and verse 24. Daniel 7 and verse 24. Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel 7, verse 24.
Pastor Holmes.
What chapter, Daniel?
7? 7:24. This, and actually start in verse 23. Daniel and the book of Revelation are closely related, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Both of them are books of eschatology. Daniel 7, start in verse 23.
Okay. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after him. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, and times, and half a times. Can we keep going or not?
Oh, yeah, that's good enough right there.
Saints? Saints will be good.
Saints. Who is this book of Revelation? What's talking about? Who's this book to?
Uh-huh.
Israel. All right. So when you're talking about the saints, we're talking about the saved people. Who in the middle of the week? All right. Right over here in the middle of the tribulation period. What happens? What does the Antichrist do? What is the main thing he does right here in the middle of this?
He declares himself God.
Oh, yeah. He declares himself God and demands to be worshipped. Before that period of time, in this new world order that he has set up. What about that new world order, Brother Kim?
You're telling me about that.
If you...
You got your right side.
I can do it by you.
I said you see, right? You see it?
This basketball is the end of the story.
Where is your wife down here? What happened to her? There she is. I have her down there. What, he is coming? All right, I'm going to put him down here too then.
And we just read that a large nation will come up and take over the world and break apart the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that one nation, the 10 rulers will come up out of it, right?
Part of that order. And where is this order? What part of the world, or what is it
European?
Known as to the what?
The European or the Western? The Western Alliance.
Western Alliance.
NATO.
All right, that's what it is today. That's what's going on to this day. If you listen, I don't listen to a whole lot of news from America, to tell you the truth. I listen to news from France and Germany and Canada and Britain. I listen to those foreign broadcasts and news. And you know what every one of them says, even if you listen to it on satellite television, you know what it's going to flash right across the screen? What is it after? What's it saying here? News of the New World Order. What's happening in the New World Order today, they'll say. All of a sudden, hear it all. I mean, this just, what's it do to you, Brother Don? Make your hair stand up on you?
I'm ready.
I am too. Brother Ken, we were talking about that at the dinner table, and he says, well, Lord, just wait until I finish eating. And then he said, well, you know what? It'll probably taste a lot better there. I'm ready to go.
They probably don't say that in the States because that kind of words, those words will just...
That kind of word in this, to these people that are educated in the Word of God here in America, which most, well, let's say about 40% of the American public is educated in the Word of God. Wouldn't you say that, Don, to some extent?
Yeah.
At least 40%. And they know basically a little bit about eschatology, which means last things. And we know, all of us know, and especially studying the book of Revelation, and we're talking here in this book right now, where we're leading up to, we're leading up to the destruction of that ecumenical world order that the beast has set up in the last days. Where he's talking about that is his bride. This world order, and the religious world order, okay? We have a political. Remember, the church and the state are married again. Totally. We have a marriage of church and state again during this period of time in the tribulation period here. Because the church and the state are going to be one. Everybody's going to worship one God and one way. And however this takes place, I don't know how it's going to do, but I know one thing, it's going to be a lot of demonic influence in it. Because in the last days, we're seeing some awfully bad things from the book of Revelation. People don't have any consciences. Something is going to drive all the Western nations together. And who's going to be over the Western nations? The ruler will come out of Israel. And is she kind of the head of the Western nations to a certain extent? Which way she wants to go, that's where they go, basically. I mean, America has got a lot to do with it. Great Britain's got a lot to do with it. But really, what Israel wants to do, that's...
We're all falling behind her.
Who owns the world banking systems in all reality? Well, where is it? Money talks, doesn't it? Where is it? Did that happen by mistake, but just by chance? How did this all take place? We see all the bad stuff. We got anthrax going from one end of this country to the other now, and all this germ warfare, the things that the book of Revelation says that are going to happen during the last days that are going to bind these nations together. We talk about in the parables the binding of the tares and the taking away of the wheat out of the field and then the burning. Off of that, the burning, purification, judgment, that kind of thing. We see all of this. And we probably know more about the book of Revelation today and fulfilled prophecy than Daniel, that we just read in the book of Daniel, or John, either one. Because we live further down in history and we could see these things come about, not because we're smarter than they are, just things. For prophecy is fulfilled. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they could see. Well, I let you listen a couple of weeks ago to one of my professors, Carl Ferrari, which told exactly where all of this was going to happen, and it was going to be through the Muslim faith that was going to drive the Western nations together. 22 years ago, he spoke those words. That's what's going to happen. That's where it's coming from. And what has happened? We're there. We're in the midst of it. Revelation 17 and verse 12. And the ten horns. And this is word, it's a little relative pronoun, and it's plural. It's ha. And it's, we use this little relative pronoun, which. Which in English. Well, that actually isn't which, it's witches. It's plural, witches. All right? That's not good English, but it's good grammar. All right. The ten horns, witches. You saw. Ten kings they are. They continue to be. Look at that word. Third person plural, present and naked acting from Amy. See that one? They are continuing to be. They are. Ten kings they are. Who, again, kingdom, not yet, they received, but authority as king. 1 hour they received with the beast, the Therion. All right? And we went back to the 7th chapter of Daniel and we read that. Revelation 17 and verse 13. Who taught? Meon?
Meon.
Nomain? Exusa?
Exusa.
Kai?
Kai.
Pain?
Pain.
Dinamon?
Dinamon.
Kai?
Kai.
Exusion?
Exusion.
Alton?
Alton.
To?
To.
Theriol?
Theriol.
Didasin?
Didasin.
All right. Let's look at this one now. This is a demonstrative pronoun. This little hutoi. It's nominative plural. And masculine. And it says, these ones. These ones. Then we have a little old, there's a little numeral or an adjective describing one, neon, in Greek, neon. And it says, one neon nomai. We get our word knowledge, the Greek, I mean, the English word knowledge, from this word right here. Nomen. Or what is the noun form of this Greek word? Genosko. Genosko. All right. We get our word to know. And how do you spell know? How's know spelled? K-N-O-W. Look at this. Gamma, nu.
Omega.
All right. Here we get the same word. This is where our word knowledge comes from. All right. This very word in Greek. And these ones, one mind they have. One understanding, one mind, one knowledge. What is that knowledge and where does that knowledge come from?
Authority of the beast.
The authority of the beast. And the dynamon. Dynamic. What's dynamic? That word dynamic comes right out of this, doesn't it? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Dynamic? What's dynamic mean?
Active.
Huh?
Active.
Powerful. Yeah. Dynamic. He's a powerful speaker. What does the word dynamite mean?
Boom.
Explosion. Power. Dynamite. These words come right straight out of Greek. And by the way, this is the way you pronounce this, ypsilon. See that word, delta, ypsilon, nu? It's not in Black Davis's Great Grammar, many of the grammars, it will pronounce it oo, ypsilon. But it's not oo, it is it, like a y. How do you spell dynamic? Something like that? All right. Dynamic. This is a die. Dynamite. Okay? That's got that it sound.
Yeah, epsilon rather than epsilon.
Well, it's epsilon. It. Now, when you combine it with other diphthongs, other vowels, it becomes some places a oo. And that's why they mispronounce it. And the reason for the mispronunciation of this ypsilon is basically the German language and the German grammarians and scholars, because they tried to make Greek German, because their languages are so similar.
Well, they use the umlaut to make the U into an E.
Mm-hmm. So that's where, and that's why, just because you pick up a grammar, don't depend upon that grammar to be correct. Just because you picked up one history book, don't expect that history book to be correct. If you only have one history book, what are you, Brother Don?
Illiterate.
If you only have one grammar, Greek grammar book, what are you? Illiterate.
Much better off.
Really, illiterate. That's why I finally end up writing one.
It's easier. Write your own.
It's just easier just to do one. All right. And the dynamis, this power. And then it says authority. The power and authority. Dynamite, power, and then exousia. What's this exousia mean? What kind of a... this? This is power and authority. Exousion, that means the right, the permission to use power. Okay? Jesus told his church, he said, in my name, go do this. That's the word onoma. And in my dynamis, do these things. That's might and power in it. And then he says, in my authority, baptize people by my authority. These are the words. Now, what is happening here? Old Satan's a copycat, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Same descriptions, the same words, using the same adjectives used to describe the power and the might of the Antichrist and his power over the nations. Mm-hmm. But the one name that you can just kiss your Lord for is not going to last. I mean, we can go through terrible things. I remember my one of my teachers, old D.S. Madden, big old Cajun man. He's 6 foot five, 6 foot six, 6 foot eight, some beast, just like this. I just looked up like this wide. And he was trying to build a church house building in Anaheim. And he went down there and he was arguing with Los Angeles and all of the big powers to be like that. He went down there finally one day, and after just being totally exhausted dealing with these people, he looked at him. He said, "I'll tell you one thing, you bunch of snakes." He said, "I'm glad I don't have to spend eternity with you." He said, "Because you're not going to the same place I am." And he said, "I thank my God for it." Looked at him kind of funny, and you know what? He didn't have as much trouble with him after that. For some reason, I don't know why. Didn't have quite as much trouble. Watching an old cowboy movie one time with Willie Nelson in it. He was playing this preacher. And he went into this town and took over this church. And these bunch of drunks and thugs came out there and started throwing rocks at the church house, breaking out the windows and everything while he's trying to preach. And he just walked down from the pulpit and walked outside and said, "Boys, you're disturbing my service here." And they just laughed at him, threw beer at him and stuff. He just bowed his head and says, "Lord, these heathens right now are disturbing this service of yours." And he said, "I pray that you will blast them with all the plagues in the Bible, that their tongues will rot out of their mouths, and that worms and scorpions of a thousand different kinds are going to bite them," and everything like this. These guys' eyes get big and they're just backing off from me like this. He says, "Take that back! Take it back!" Authority. Why, John, you know, the sons of thunder, one time when Jesus, they says, "Call down fire out of heaven like Elijah did and zap them. You got the authority?" Well, one thing about God's authority is eternal. And Satan's authority and power is just for a time. And we're going to look at that. Just for a time. It's powerful. Satan has extreme influence in the world today. All of his powers are coming together to make this place just one living hell, this whole earth, during this last days. But it's only for a time. Thank our God. It's only for a time. You know what tribulation and persecution has done to God's churches all down through the ages? What's it done to them?
Put them together stronger.
Make them stronger. Make them
grow.
Put some backbone in them. Yeah. Trouble and tribulation has been the seed. It's been the food of the churches, all down through the ages. The harder it got, the stronger they got.
If we hadn't been killed through all those ages, come the Reformation, who knows what would have happened to us?
Yeah. Who knows what would have happened? The beast, and then it says, the authority of them to the beast they give. Verse number 14, 17 and verse 14. Hutoi.
Hutoi.
Meta.
Meta.
Tu.
Tu.
Arnu.
Arnu.
Tole me susan.
Tole me susan.
Kai.
Go.
Arnion.
Arnion.
Nikese.
Nikese.
Altois.
Altois.
Poti.
Poti.
Kyrios.
Kyrios.
Kyrion.
Kyrion.
Estin.
Estin.
Kai.
Kai.
Basileus.
Basileus.
Basileon.
Basileon.
Kai.
Kai.
Hoi.
Hoi.
Met.
Met.
Altu.
Altu.
Lekoi. Kai.
Kai.
Eklektoi.
Eklektoi.
Kai.
Kai.
Histoi.
Histoi.
Boy, this is a real verse here. You know, if I turned myself loose, I could preach on this thing for a week. There's a lot of material in this thing. And you could trace all through the Bible, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, and 1st and 2nd Peter, James. You could just, Paul's writings, you could just chase this on. But I'll just give you a taste of it and let you chase it. How's that? All right? You know what school teaches you? I went out to Lakeside School. I teach English grammar and reading out there 2 days a week. And I told the little kids in the third grade, that's what I'm teaching right now. I said, you know what you learned in the third grade? Everything you need to know to read a recipe and make a cake or any kind of food, everything you need to do to put a bicycle together, you can read all the instructions. You can go down to the library and read any book in the library from the words that you learned in this year, this grade year. I said, you know what it does this year? You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a license to learn. Only thing you learn, I went to seminary for 12 years, and all I got was a license to learn. I learned Greek, and I learned Hebrew, and some Latin, and some German, and English a little better. And I studied all the biblical background classes and hermeneutics and teaching techniques and grammars and history and archaeology and geography and all of these things just so I could understand, so I could unfold the Bible, so I could study it. I didn't learn anything. All I learned was how to learn. So that's what I'm trying to teach you tonight, is not everything that's in here, but just how to uncover these mysteries. Alright? These ones again. Then we have this word meta. Meta. These ones with the lamb. Aren't you? What is this lamb? What is kind of lamb is this? Brother Don, you know what kind of word that is, aren't you?
Arnie. No, brother,
without
my glasses on
his head. Arnie. What about Brother Kim? Have you studied this word?
Yes.
What's this word?
It's a sacrificial lamb.
That's the lamb that's marked for sacrifice. The one, not sacrificial lamb specifically, but the lamb that was marked for sacrifice. And where were these lambs kept?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem. Out there in that little pasture below the city of Bethlehem. And they had special shepherds that watch this little set-off flock of sacrificial lambs so that they would not stumble and cut themselves or have any blemish or scar upon them, because they couldn't be the lambs for the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. This is the sacrificial lamb, the one that's marked for sacrifice. Who do you think is talking about here? The sacrificial lamb. Who was marked from all eternity past for the sacrifice? But in time and space, he became the sacrificial lamb. He's no longer that lamb. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he's identified as that lamb, the one that was marked for sacrifice, the one that did die on the cross of Calvary. But he died, but he didn't stay there. In the book of Revelation, it says in several places, and the King James translates it very poorly, I was the one, the living one that lived forever, the one that became dead. Not that was dead, but became dead. And by the way, if you go back in the book of Genesis, every place where it translates the word haya into was, translated to into became instead, because there's no was in Hebrew. It's a became. It changes from one state to another. And then there was light. Everybody's heard that term. But listen to it. And then there became light. And then there was light over the first over the faces of the deep. And then there became darkness, it says. Became. Became means a change from one state to the other. The Lamb that became dead. But it says what? But that lives forevermore. Eternity.
So in that verse, the light came before the darkness.
The light, God created light, okay? It became darkness. The earth, she became, word haya again. By the word, that word became, haya, what is the root? That's the first place it's used in the book of Genesis, in the Old Testament. That's the first place it's used in the Bible. But what is the root of that word? What other word is the root of
Yahweh.
That word? Became? What?
Yahweh.
Jehovah. The one who shall become. Okay? Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth. With Haaretz, she became Bohu Vatuhu. Alright? She became formless and void. Became. Changed from one state to another state. Became. Transition. Change. Alright? And then it says, and God said, let there be come light. And light was or became. Light became. Not was, but became. Abrupt change. All right? Look at that. Trace those words. Check me out. Get you a lexicon. I go back and chase those words in the book of Genesis. I translated that thing about 4 times. But it was beautiful. Every time I learned something more. To graduate from advanced reading and research in Hebrew, I had to translate the whole book of Genesis. And that was part of it. We did that, and then we went into Ezekiel and then Daniel and went to the book of Job and some other ones too. But it's beautiful. That language is beautiful. It has its place. And so much of that grammar is in the book of Revelation, as we saw last week. All right? And then it says, and with the Lamb, the Lamb that was marked for sacrifice, they shall make war. Polemio. That's the root word here. Polemio. Make war. Make warfare. And what are the word for soldiers in Greek is what? What does it mean? Strategist. We got our word strategy from that word. Strategy. Strategist. And soldiers and war makers, they try to get strategies and work strategies out where they'll do this and do that. That's what they're doing in Washington and doing over there and all the Middle East countries, and everybody's got their strategies, how they're going to win, how they're going to do this, and all their contingency things of what happens if we don't quite win and what are we going to do if this happens and whatever. That's war making. And they shall make war with the Lamb. And then it says, Kaito Arneon, and the Lamb, Nikase. Third person singular, future, indicative acting. That word comes from Nikao. Nikao. What modern word do you find this Nikao coming from today?
Nickelodeon.
Nike shoes. All right, that's where it comes from. Remember that. Or Nike.
People rulers.
Nico to conquer. Yeah. Laos, brother Don Laity. His name means people. Temple Margaret. John.
You got some seats up here in the front
row. Right, you have to stand up on the front row when you come, mate. Or maybe in the back, here and there. John will set up front. We're in Revelation 17 and verse 14. And with the Lamb they shall make war, and the Lamb he shall nikao. What does that mean? He shall conquer. He shall conquer. Third person singular. What does that state?
In our grammar.
All right? Remember your grammar, your little box here. singular and plural. First person singular is what?
I.
Second person?
You.
Third person?
She.
A she or an it? All right, so which one is this? Third person singular. All right. He. Who is this lamb? He shall conquer. Third person singular, future. Future tense. Future. That's something that's going to take place. Future. Indicative mode. What kind of a mode?
Statement of fact.
That's a statement. Indicative mode is a statement of fact. The mode, by the way, in the verb is how the action is affirmed. All right? And then the active. Tell me a little bit about this active voice. That's the voice of the verb or the person. All right. It's doing what?
The subject is doing the
action. The subject's doing the action. All right. This land he shall conquer. Conquer. And then we have autos. Autos. Them. Third person pronoun there. He shall conquer them. It's usually plural masculine. Third person pronoun if you want to just decline it all the way down in Greek. All right. It's third person pronoun that is accusative. And what does accusative tell us? The accusative. All right. How many cases are there in Greek?
Eight
cases. How many of you can name them?
I can name one.
Oh. The thing, you couldn't do it without Brother Don. Come on, read them to me, brother.
Okay. Nominative, genitive, ablative, locative, dative.
Locative, instrumental, dative.
Instrumental, yeah. I do not know right
now. All right. Locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. And this case is in the accusative. And the accusative case is what? The sign of what?
The direct subject.
It's the object or...
It takes an object.
All right. It takes an object. It is the one that's being acted upon. All right. We'll get a little bit of that. I thought we'd throw that for your grammar background, okay? Mm-hmm. He shall conquer them. And then it says, Hoti. And this is a little casual particle. Well, you can look that one up on page 294 if you want to. In Benjamin Davidson's analytical lexicon. Little conjunction or casual particle. Hoti. And it's a causative thing. And it means because. And then it says kyrios, kyrion. What's kyrios? Huh?
The Lord.
The Lord. Who is Jesus? Huh? He is the Lord of Lords. The Lord, it says Lord, Kyrios, Kyrion. Nominative, singular, masculine. And who is this person that we're talking about? We just talked about him in the Old Testament. Who is he? The one who shall become. Jehovah. John 1 and 1. It says, in beginning, kept on being the Jehovah, the Word. And the Word kept on being toward the God. He never was, didn't cease being God ever. All right? He was always one and the same. And it says, and the Word kept on being God. By the way, the God, if you want to put it that way.
Amen.
The God. All right? In Greek, the last part of John 1 and 1. In Greek, when you, all the cases agree in number, gender, and case. All right? They agree. That's whole logos and theos. At the end of John 1 and 1, it says, and the Word was God, is how it's translated in King James. But in Greek, what it should say is the Word kept on being God. He did not. He wasn't was God. He kept on being. He kept on being. Now in Greek, a lot of times they don't waste letters. They don't waste letters. Right here, this little hole, that is what? That's a definite article. We're going to call it a DA there, okay? Definite article. And number, gender, and case. What is it?
Singular,
nominative case, singular, and it's masculine. Oh boy, did you know that you could get all that out of a duh in Greek?
You sure can.
Not only singular, masculine, definite article. And how would you translate that?
The.
The. And a the is a pointer. When Greek has a the in it, that definite article, it points out something. It's an arrow, mm-hmm. a sign post. Wow, pay attention. There's something real important right here. And it says, and the word. Now, how should we translate this word, word, this logos? Why did John use this word in Greek? Why did he use
Hebrew
Greek?
Background.
It had a Hebrew background. This is the Hebraism. Okay? In the Old Testament time, whenever the Hebrew scholars, scribes, came to the word Jehovah, which we say that word real easy, but really there's no way to say the word Jehovah or Yahweh or whatever you want to say it. It's an unpronounceable word according to their history. They would come to this word and they would refer to it as the word. The word. And they would say, when they were speaking about God, this Jehovah, they would say, and they wouldn't say the word. Mm-hmm. Even in Hebrew literature today and writings, when it comes about and starts to say God, they will have that. They won't say the word. And they referred to him as the word. Okay? So when John wrote the gospel according to John, the fourth gospel, the deity of Jesus Christ was already being attacked. And what do we mean by the deity of Jesus Christ? People were saying that he was not God. So John said, I'm going to settle that once and for all. So he used this term, this Hebraism. All right? This is not a Greek term, but is a Hebraism. All right? It's not a Greek term. It's not the Greek logos idea, but is the Hebraism of the Old Testament. That's why John uses it. And the Jehovah. All right? This is third person singular. Imperfect tense. Indicative mode. And active voice. And it comes from Amy. All right? And Jehovah was God. No, Jehovah, he, third person singular, he, imperfect tense, continuous action. He kept on being indicative mode, statement of fact, active voice. The verb is doing the acting. And the Jehovah, he kept on being. Now in Greek, you could put a the in here if they wanted to, but it wasn't necessary. Because this is what you call a practical substantive in a grammatical term. Okay? A practical substantive. Alright? That means that almost wrote it in Hebrew. Logos equals God. Plain. This equals that. This is that. One is equal to one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And one is equal to one. Either direction you want to go is one and the same, isn't it? And this little linking verb here is the same as an equal sign in mathematics. But it's grammatically an equal sign. All right? So, Don, you get that one? Pretty beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
And the Jehovah kept on being practical substantive. Right here. Practical substantive. Kept on being the God. And this is also called a predicate nominative.
Yeah.
A predicate nominative.
I'm wondering if you're going to say that or not.
Nominative. And that's what I should have said a while ago instead of the practical substantive. A predicate nominative. This over here is equal to that over here. Just got the wrong word to go out of my mouth. It was in my head, but the wrong word came out.
Why did you call my attention to that, brother?
Well, I was saying
predicate
not good
knowledge.
For
predicate
to
knowledge.
Say things like that.
What?
It's not good form for people to say things like that.
But sometimes something that wrong thing might come out. So this is a predicate nominative. That means that everything over here is equal to everything over there. And this the can really be put in there. This definite article can really be put in there because it's understood in the Greek grammatical mind. So the word, the Jehovah, kept on being the God. It's part of that. All that. And this is very important right here, where we are in this verse, Revelation 17 and verse 14. And they shall make war. And with the Lamb they shall make war, and he shall conquer them, because Lord of lords he is. The King of the universe is what it means. He is, third person singular, present indicative active, Estin. He always has been. Sometimes he steps back and allows certain things. This is what you call the permissive will of God. What's taking place in the world today is being permitted by God. God never does any evil, bad act, but he does permit that to bring about his eternal purpose. And we don't understand that very much. But when you look back, you can understand it a whole better. They say 2020, or hindsight is 2020. Well, that's why we can see the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel and Daniel a lot better than Ezekiel, Daniel, and John did. Because we have hindsight. Not because we're so smart. We've got a little history behind us. And he is the Basileus Basileon. What is a basilica? What is a basilica?
That's like a temple. Like a temple.
A palace. A basilica is a palace. Okay? That's a palace. Who resides in the palace? The king. All right. And then it says here, and here's where we get the word basilica. It comes from the Greek word basileus. And the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. You can put the in there also. If you want to. They just don't have to. You can put the in there. And King of Kings. And it says, Kai, and the ones with him. This is beautiful. Kleithoi. What is this Kleithoi here?
Comes from Kaleo.
Comes from Kaleo.
Means the called.
All right, the called. Who's the called?
Saved.
All right, the saved. The saved. The called. And during this period of time, who is the called upon this earth and the separated? The Jewish saints. The Jewish Israel. Israel. There's 144,000 Israelites that we know of that from 12 different tribes of Israel, literally. And they are literally marked and protected by God for a specific purpose, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. They're going to be administrators in his kingdom upon this earth. Israel will finally do what they should have done over here. He's going to make them ready. There's an old story, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And then an old cowboy says, but you can salt his grain. He ain't grain no matter what. So you can salt his grain and make him thirsty. God salts Israel's grain for this whole period of time. And especially right here, he lays the salt on them, alright? He makes them hungry and thirst after the king that they have crucified. The called. And it says, and the eklektoi. We got a word election from this one. The elected ones. The called and the elected. The called and the elected. God elected two groups in the world. What are they?
Israel
and his church. The elect. Two different groups. Separate. Totally for a different purpose, totally and for two different reasons. And they're not the same. Two different bodies. Israel and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are both elected. What does that word elected mean? Picked out. Picked out. Ephesians, the first chapter. It tells something about the church being elected there. Ephesians chapter 1. If you've got the New Testament there, I'm going to read it to you from Greek. All right? He says, Paul's apostles, Christus, Dia Theomatos, Siu, Tois, Hagios, Tois, Isus, and Enephesu, Tychistois, and Christus, Isu. It says, Paul the apostle, to the what? By the spiritual activating force of God, to the holy ones. What does holy mean?
Set apart.
What else? It comes from
separated.
Literally. Literally. Etymology. Not of earth.
Oh, Hagios.
Hagios, not of earth. All right. Not of earth. You're born the first time from the dirt. You're born the second time from the heaven. All right. Not of earth. And it says here, Karis Himin, Kai, Ereni. Apothiu, Patrosimon, Kai, Kirio, Isu, Christu. It says grace. What's grace?
Unmerited
favor. It says to ye, and peace from God the Father of us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3, it says, blessed the God, the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us in pasa elugia, in every good thing spiritual, in the heavenlies and in Christ Jesus. And then it says, just as, it says here, just as, kathos, ex elixato, he picked us out in Him before the foundation of the world system. He picked us out before in Him. And it says to be holy and unblemished, down in the presence of Him, in love. It says He marked us off beforehand. How many of you know, how many of you have been cowboys a little bit? Any of that? A little bit of cowboy. This is a cowboy term. Or a sheep herding term. Cowboys up here in the hills, and I did that a lot. Out in the springtime every year, they go up and they gather up all the calves. And what do they do with the calves? Well, you go up there on your horses and you cut the calves out of the herd and you throw a rope around his little neck and around his feet and you stretch him out there and you mark him. And you inoculate him and you mark his little ears with a mark of some sort so you can see him from a way off. And tell what family he's from and everything else. You can put everything, all kinds of information on this animal. And he's inoculated. That's the term right here that the Lord is using. It said He picked us out and crowned us and branded us in eternity past. I like that, Brother Don. Marked us. That's the term over here. The two chosen ones. From eternity past. Alright? Then it says the pistoi. Revelation 17 and verse 4. What does this word pistoi mean?
Faithful ones.
Faithful ones. Full of faith. Faithful means faithful. Full of faith. Where does faith come from? Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved. That's from Greek now, translation. For in grace ye are having been saved. Perfect participle, by the way. It's a completed fact. For in grace, you're having been saved through faith, by the agency of faith. And that not out of you. What's not out of you?
Anything.
The faith. No part of it. Where does this faith come from?
God.
And then what is it? Charis? Gift. Grace. Unmerited favor. Are we out of time?
No, does keep on going.
It's 7 o'clock. And the ones faithful, the ones called, the ones picked out, and the ones faithful. Cross-reference that with Ephesians, the first chapter. And read that later on, and then read this together again. We're talking about the elect. We're talking about Israel here. Over there, we're talking about the Lord's church. But they're picked out and chosen. Both of them are. There are two groups that were elected by God. Elected the same way, not according to person, but according to choice. All right, choice. And whose choice? God's choice. That's true biblical election. We're going to start next week in 17 and verse 5.
In the word you're chosen, the choice.
Mm-hmm.
In Revelation they use a kappa, but in Ephesians they use that little Z.
Oh, it's just the way it's just the verb form and stuff that changes. The spelling changes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It really is still ek and lego. All right. Ek means what?
Out of
your exit signs, what does that mean?
Out of it.
That's exit. Out of it. That's what exit means. Out of it. Ek and then lego. It means I speak, but the etymology of the word means to pick out. Like a bird would pick up sand and gravel and food out, picks out what he wants to eat. All right? And that's the etymology of this word right here. Thank you for your attention tonight and your endurance of those hard seats.
I think the church will spot us some lazy boys, huh?
I'll tell you what, I teach to you all night, but the seat won't endure. The seat just won't endure. Brother Don, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, thank you for giving us light tonight. Lord, we receive it gratefully, and we ask you that you would make us strong to be able to use it. Help us, Father.